We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's Double Shot John Mayer Thursday because we're selling the tickets to the show. Do we have any official word on whether or not the show is sold out? There are people who are texting saying they think it's sold out. I don't believe that Alice in Winterland is completely sold out yet. You need to keep trying.
Guy
said, I got five computers going trying to get in. They sold out fast. No, I do not believe that they're sold out.
It's not sold out.
Yeah, so you can keep on trying. There are a lot of people on the site right now, so it's really difficult for new people to get their cart in line and to grab a pair of the tickets and go, just keep trying. We will, believe me, Alice will tell you when the tickets are officially sold out. They'll say, that's it. But they're not sold out, and they're getting close. A lot of people on there, John Mayer and Maren Morris, people want to see him. They want to come to an
John
Alice
Mayer
in
is an incredible show to go see.
Incredible.
And the guy, he did hours, I don't know how long the shows were for the dead, when it was Dead and Company or whatever that was.
Well, those
was,
are always 6 hours long. So,
but, and he did a solo show recently where it was him and he did three sets.
Oh, geez.
He did a set with his band, a set, an acoustic set, and then a set with a couple other dudes.
Oh, funny.
So he.
Guy loves to perform.
He likes to play.
Well, he's playing at Alice in Winterland 2017. And if you want to go, get on the stick. LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com. Despite what you may have heard, they're not sold out. You just have to keep trying. Just keep reloading the page and trying to get yourself in the queue there. Because they are going to sell out and you want to, you know, give it your best bet, best effort. And we'll have tickets to give away. I'm sure we will.
But we want it to sell today, so keep trying.
Sure, we want it to sell out.
Here are some of your texts. 415 says, morning, listening to the podcast from yesterday. Damn, Sarah, lay off Bryn. Love you.
Oh, what'd I do to Bryn?
Yeah, get off me, Sarah.
Oh, shut up. What did I do?
Play the sounder.
What? She's on the rag.
No, your sounder for him.
925 says, have you taught Riley how to write sobered up I'm sorry notes yet?
Well, he's, you know, hopefully learned by example. He would see me every
650 says,
morning.
Listening from Medellin, Colombia.
Mm,
would love to give a shout out to my beautiful mother back in San Francisco. Miss you, Mom. That's from Martin.
Vanessa's Colombian. She's very excited.
Right. She wrote my home next to this one.
Yeah.
That's it? That's all
I'm
you got?
I'm from Colombia, and a lot of the people on that show, they're not from there, so it's really upsetting to see them being played by people from other nationalities.
I tried to have a conversation with her a minute ago and couldn't.
What
She's
happened?
Very confusing. She says, I don't date guys from Colombia, and so Bryn's all, oh, man, that's racist. That's not nice. And she's like, no, I just never met anyone. And I think because I've dated other people and I haven't dated anyone from Colombia that I'm going to end up with someone from Colombia.
Because that's how the universe works.
Right.
That's what I was trying to explain.
And I said, so you're trying to make that happen. And
no.
She's all, no. But if you know that's the way the universe works and you're saying that then you're making that the case.
Do you understand what he's saying, Vanessa?
I do, but I'm trying to fight it.
You're trying to fight it.
I'm
not fighting you,
Vinny.
I'm fighting the universe.
All right.
Do you think you're going to end up living in Colombia?
Oh, no.
The moves one is just so many people wrote in about their moves. Hey, morning fam. So, Vin, go as a rubber or a rash for your party.
Oh, those are both good. You could be a rash.
I don't think that's good, actually. The missus is still pushing Ron Jeremy, but I shaved. Actually, I had just shaved. I could have done the porn stash thing and made that happen, but
look, you got 4 days, Vinny.
Yeah, it's
just tomorrow night.
Oh, well,
what's tomorrow night?
His party, the Halloween party. Oh. Tomorrow night.
He's an R thing for the.
It's gotta be an R.
I know what you're going as.
No, you
don't. Yeah, we all do.
I do know.
You don't know, and don't say.
He's going as a rat.
No.
Yeah. No, you don't know. Yeah.
I do. I just nailed it, didn't I?
Have we all gotten so serious in life that we can't have any sense of humor anymore?
Nope, we cannot have any sense of humor.
Dude, this is people were saying in the 90s, political correctness is going to get out of control. And
it has.
And this is it.
Yep.
You're living it. You are living it.
Enjoy.
Buddy.
Super fun. Everything you say will be held against you.
Uh-huh.
And forget the court of law, the court of Twitter, the court of social media. God, you can't say anything anymore. How do we even still have jobs? I guess we're just really careful.
Well, we have gotten careful.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Still, sometimes I'll say something, I'll be kicking myself about it all day long, getting in bed going, why'd you have to say that?
You can kiss the R-word goodbye.
Rat? Yeah.
That's one that you miss so much. I don't know why you miss it so much. It's not really.
You said it when you were a kid. It was fun.
We all said a lot of things when we were kids. They just weren't that funny.
You can't let go of that one thing, though.
That was funny.
All right. Everyone's my God, I love the deuce. Hookers and cocaine. What more could you ask for?
Oh, this is that. Is that on HBO? Is that a Showtime thing, HBO? That does look really good. James Franco, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I think there was some other stars in it, too. It's about
HBO.
Oh, of course it is.
My dad has never moved. He's 77 and lives in the same house he was born in.
Wow.
You know, that's cool, man. You know all your neighbors. You know the whole neighborhood.
This is where you
live. You're the mayor of that town. Yep. That is cool. Lots of people wrote in on that one. Just how many times they've moved or whatever.
Yeah. I would have guessed more, but I think I came up with 23 or 22 times.
It's too many for me to count.
You should try. Try and do it.
I really. Well, maybe I will later, but. Yeah.
You won't. You'll forget.
Probably not. Sarah, check out The Oroville. It's another Trek-like show.
I have not heard great things about it, but I do like Seth MacFarlane's sense of humor a lot. So it is one that I'll probably look at some point. And it's, you know, sci-fi. I'm into that.
We know.
Sci-fi and Family Guy. Come on. It's got everything I want right there.
Bonnie, go as the Invisible Man or as the movie Olive. Same thing. No one can see him.
But they don't start with an R.
Right.
He's setting up Rudy in here because he's got to do his half of the review from the other room there. You can choose your chair. Choose whichever chair you'd like.
You like that chair?
I love this chair.
All right.
It's a good chair. Still have 1 minute, everyone. Pipe down.
Ay, ay, ay. Is this a last minute decision or was this always the plan?
Well, she's getting the winner. So.
All right.
Turn the lights on in there so that you can be on camera because he posts these.
Yeah.
Oh, freaking baby.
Come on, man.
Wow, did you just call him a baby?
Yeah, Hooman Super Baby.
Ooh.
He's a super baby. Super baby, turn those lights on. Yeah.
I went to go buy Winterland tickets and Ticketmaster just released them. Like, what the heck? Now I can't get them.
You can. Refresh
your
computer's browser.
Computer's just a, you know, it's a...
Top of my lungs.
Your computer is bottlenecking.
Yeah, that's all.
You know?
Just keep reloading the page.
Bottleneck.
Just keep trying. You'll get them.
Tickets are still available.
Yeah. Official word is there are tickets available.
Your computer is bottlenecking. That's all.
Jesus. Wait for it. Yeah, there. Sorry, I stepped
my
right on
my favorite part.
It.
I know. Why'd you do that?
Stupid.
See, PC isn't taking over just yet. You know, you still got the Mexican music going in the background when I come in. Still have some fun with it. Don't let them take over, you guys.
Yeah, well, we're going to try not to.
Who's trying to take over? Who's CPC?
The PC police, Hooman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're out there.
Yeah. Hey, they're mostly on the internet, though. Go ahead.
Before we get to the big movie of the week, there's a small movie that's opening up in the San Francisco Bay Area this week. It was in New York and L.A. last week. It's called Wonderstruck, and it looks like it's a Julianne Moore movie. It looks like she's the only famous person in the film. Rudy saw it because he's so dedicated to film reviews, everything having to do with movies.
I'm committed.
What's Wonderstruck about, Rudy?
Okay, Wonderstruck is it's a visually pleasing tale about two kids, Ben and Rose, whose stories are intertwined, but you don't really understand how they're intertwined at first. All you know is that these are two deaf kids who run away from home and make their way to New York in order to find their missing parents. The young girl, Rose, is looking for her missing mother, and the young boy, Ben, is looking for his missing dad. And they're trying to put the pieces of their life together, but the one thing that they do share is the fact that they're both deaf. Because they're deaf, this story ends up being a very visual movie with not that much dialogue, or at least not as much as you would expect like in a feature film.
Right.
But you don't really understand where these two stories end up at and how they're intertwined until later on in the movie. And then that's when the emotional part of the movie kicks in.
Rudy.
But yes, to begin with, it's two deaf kids looking for their parents.
Is this a tearjerker? Did you cry?
Look, I didn't cry because I'm a man. You know, I'm a strong-willed man.
So you cried.
And I have no emotions. Ever since my dad told me not to kiss him on the lips when I was four, I just buried it all deep down inside. But Yes, exactly. But no, but the truth is that, yeah, it was a tearjerker because the way that this all ends, there's a serendipity type of ending to this all between Rose and Ben. So, yeah, there was definitely some sniffles. And, you know, I had to turn away from the screen from time to time because it kind of got me to him. And
it did?
I got feelings. Somebody was cutting onions in there. I got feelings, too.
Did this movie, like, a lot of critics are saying it didn't fire on all cylinders. It was a bit cheesy. Was it cheesy?
See, I wouldn't say that it was cheesy, you guys. I would say that the beauty of the story itself wasn't in the actual story. It was in the way that they told it. Todd Haynes, the director, decided to capitalize on the fact that this story consisted of two deaf kids. So therefore, there's going to be a lot of visually pleasing scenes. And that's really what it was. When Rose and Ben, when their stories finally intertwine, you see how them being deaf really brings the story together. So yeah, there may have been some cheesiness to it, only because I think that they were trying to push the visual part of the movie, you know, so it's almost
embrace
like
the cheese.
So you have to embrace the cheese in order to get to the center of it all. And once you embrace the cheese, then you'll realize how good of a movie this actually was.
Was it sad or happy?
It ended up being happy, but there was definitely some sadness throughout the entirety of the movie. You know, there was times where you felt like both kids in their own stories were just going to be completely hopeless and things were not going to work out well for them. But when the end of the movie finally came around, you realized that, you know, there was a happy ending to it all.
What do you give it?
I'm going to give this movie 3 out of 5 pinatas, because, again, I felt like they were trying to force you. You know, Todd Haynes, who did an incredible job visually, I feel like he was trying to force you into liking it instead of actually earning it. But if you stuck around long enough and you hang in there long enough, you will actually somewhat enjoy it. But the majority of the movie, did kind of drag on, and it wasn't until the very end where, you know, it was you realized how happy of a story this was.
All right, everyone, here's your review of Suburbicon. Matt Damon, Julianne Moore again, Oscar Isaac, and it's directed by the amazing George Clooney.
Mm. Oh.
So there are a couple descriptions that the movie studios are putting out there about how they want Suburbicon to be presented. One of them says a home invasion rattles a quiet family town. That's entirely incorrect. That's not this movie. I don't know what movie that is, but that's not this film at all. The other is a peaceful suburban community has an underbelly of betrayal, deceit, and violence. That description is still really wrong, but it's a little bit better. It's still hugely inaccurate. Rudy, how badly does George Clooney wish he could direct as well as the Coen brothers?
That's all he's ever wanted in his life. I don't know. I feel like he was trying so hard. The Coen brothers, who had a part in writing this, I'm sure that somewhat inspired George Clooney, but he just didn't have the same. He didn't have the same creativity. Even the way that the movie was shot, it just felt so. I've never seen a movie go nowhere so slowly. It just took forever. I mean, me and Hooman were just sitting there fidgeting around, like talking to each other about what we're going to do tomorrow and stuff, what we
really?
Had for lunch. Well, I mean, it dragged on at the very beginning so hard.
What were we doing? We were watching people walk in and out.
Right.
And figuring out, are they going to remember what row they're in?
Exactly. And yeah, we were basically putting bets like they were horses to see if they were going to figure out where they could sit down again.
But that's terrible.
That's how slowly this movie dragged on. And then also, you know, I didn't know where they were going. Most of the characters in this movie, first of all, Julianne Moore plays two characters, which coincidentally, she plays two characters in Wonderstruck also. I forgot to mention that.
And they come out the same week.
So I don't know.
She's four characters.
In 1 week.
I guess she's tapping into her Mexican side because she's just taking all these jobs all at once. It doesn't even matter. But yeah, she plays two roles in this movie in Suburbicon, which they never really explained. You're just kind of sitting there accepting it. You have no idea why she's even playing two movies. I guess George Clooney was trying to get creative. But there were so many small subplots in the movie that were never touched on.
Well, what's the best thing about this film?
The best thing about this film was that it was under 2 hours and that I was able to make it home before sundown. Like, that's pretty much
it. How long did it feel?
It felt like it was a two hour 20-minute movie, because the first, you know, hour of it was doing absolutely nothing. It was just completely slow.
I leaned over to Rudy a couple times and I'm like, I don't understand any of these characters. I don't I don't understand anything that's happening. And he just kind of looked at me and shrugged his shoulders and said, yeah, me neither.
Uman told me, he was like, I'm going to leave early. And you just hang around and just fill me in later on. But yeah, it felt like a 2+ hour movie. But luckily, it was only 1 hour and 40 minutes. So
Rudy,
that was probably the best part about it.
You're a comedy expert. Does this film have any truly funny moments?
The only funny part about this movie was that they actually signed off on making it. I don't understand. I really don't understand what they were trying to achieve here. There were like elements of, you know, somewhat of a home invasion. There were elements of the mafia. There were elements of like race relations, believe it or not, which really was, I don't mind a movie having race relations and trying to be provocative, but this movie, it was like forcing some sort of provocative race relation type subplot where like Matt Damon's neighbor, who was a black family, they were getting a lot of flack from the community because Suburbicon is supposed to be like this perfect white paradise, you know, so
in the 50s.
In the 50s. So all of a sudden this black family moves in and all of a sudden you have turmoil, you have racial turmoil, but it had nothing to do with the movie. I wanted to know more about this black family that was being terrorized, but they did nothing to address it. So again, it was just another like a stone left unturned and another subplot that was never addressed.
Is the movie scary or suspenseful?
No.
Is the movie well shot or incredibly well written?
Incredibly is a strong word. No, not at all.
So there's two different movies in this film, as Rudy said. There's the story of this black family that moves in next door. And then there's this entirely different story of Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, and Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
So,
is it her sister or something?
Well, that's the thing. And Julianne Moore plays Matt Damon's wife, and then exactly, and then also plays Matt Damon's wife's sister. So she's blonde. And Matt Damon's wife is blonde, and then Matt Damon's wife's her sister, who's also Julianne Moore, is a redhead. And then the first Julianne Moore, the blonde one, ends up dying.
Oh, well, that's a huge spoiler alert. We shouldn't have said that.
Oh, crunch.
I mean,
well, that's
you're
what
just,
we do on this show.
You have to understand why there's two of them. I mean, I'm not telling you how the movie ends. I'm just telling you that's at the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
And then it's Julianne Moore who takes her place. That is another subplot. The fact that the sister married the dead sister's husband.
Well, that's a huge. Don't give. No more talking.
I'm just saying, though.
You're giving away the whole film.
It sounds like no one should see this movie anyway.
Ruben thinks you spoiled it.
It's extremely confusing. Ruben, believe me, by the time they watch it, they won't even understand what's going on.
Nobody's watching this movie. I would never press play on this movie just based on what you said so far.
No, I feel bad for Matt Damon. Even Matt Damon, like halfway through the movie, he looked like he regretted making this movie all in all, because it was that bad.
Sum it all up, let me just say this. George Clooney strikes again. I didn't think there'd be a worse film than The Ides of March or Monuments Men, but here it is. It's called Suburbicon. It sucks. It's so slow. I couldn't follow it. And Vinny, I know you love endings and you want happy endings. The ending of this film is so stupid. When it was done, I'm like, I kept leaning over to Rudy going, how are they gonna tie this all together? How are they gonna land this plane? Like, how's this gonna? And then it ends with this dumb overhead shot.
Don't say how it ends.
I'm just saying a dumb overhead shot.
They didn't tie it together.
They didn't tie it together. Nothing was tied together. With that being said, I'm gonna give it. Oh, I honestly could not follow it, nor did I care about anyone. Did I mention that?
No.
With that being said, I'm gonna give it. I wrote one Persian rug, but as I'm talking about it, it's got to be zero. I'm giving it zero Persian.
I'm taking all my pinatas and I'm going home. I'm not leaving one pinata behind, not even a remnant of a pinata. This movie deserves nothing like that whatsoever. Zero pinatas.
Oh, you hated that movie?
It was terrible.
Wow.
It was terrible.
All right. I can't wait to see the movie numbers next week.
Hey, but George Clooney rocked an ER, though. He was awesome when he was on ER. That's what I kept telling everybody. I was like, hey, man, if he was in ER, then this movie must be great. It was bad.
And you've taken all your pinatas and gone home.
Taking
all right,
my
Rudy,
pinatas.
Rudy, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I'm sorry we're not doing a secret show today, but we'll see you for next Tuesday.
No problem.
Live secret
show.
Yeah,
buddy.
No problem. By the way, you guys, if anybody's going to be down south, I'm going to be at the Hollywood Improv this Sunday and then over at Tommy T's on Tuesday night.
Ooh. And we put up an Instagram post of Rudy on the Al973 Instagram.
So go check him out.
Go check me out.
Rudy. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you very much for listening today.
I'm sorry you're so sick.
Oh, thanks, Vinny. I'm sure it can only get better, right?
Well, Go get some rest and see how it feels.
Right. And by the way, get on your computer immediately. If they're not already sold out, they are damn close. Get your tickets for Alice in Winterland 2017, John Mayer, Maren Morris. Vinny, you were able to just successfully get on the site. Yeah,
so there are still tickets available, and we will announce when they're sold out. So if you're having like glitchy issues, it's just the computer's bottlenecking or their system is bottlenecking.
Right.
But keep trying because you can't. I just did it.
Yep. You were able to get and put a couple of tickets in a cart. You emptied your cart, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So go to livenation.com or ticketmaster.com. There's still time, but not very much time. If you want to go to Winterland, make sure that you get those tickets immediately. Have a great day, everybody. Hopefully we'll see you on Friday.
Feel better.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.